What is it? 259? Welcome to Highway Diary, episode 259 with Kyle Groom in parentheses Colorado.
Yeah. Yay. Hey, technically it is Colorado hyphen Groom legally, but stage name is Kyle Colorado.
So Colorado is what? You're getting married?
Well, I got married.
You got me. Where's your
ring? The ring, because I've been wearing my mask. Well, not my mask. I've been wearing gloves a lot in the beginning of the quarantine.
Right.
So I didn't want to have it over, so I just leave it. I'm not fucking going out and, like, fending off pussy left and right. I see my wife every day.
Right.
I'm not worried about, like, guys. I'm taken right now. Everyone who I see
guys.
Knows that. Yes, guys. Mostly guys.
Yeah, you fit right into the bear community. So you were telling me that you tried to start a podcast
2015.
What was your podcast called?
It was the Talk Pop Podcast. It was going to be just pop culture in general.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bunch of things. First, I got into what started it was I got into an accident that totaled my car.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to buy the car that I currently drive for my father, but he was just like, yeah, I feel bad. I got a new job. I don't need the money. Take the car. And I was like, okay, great. So I was able to just, like, junk the car and get, like, $1,200. So I was able to buy all the equipment. And so somewhere in my storage unit right now, I have all the equipment I need to start a podcast.
So you have, like, a mixing board?
Yep, and Behringer like mixing board.
Wow.
I have a Shure SM58, you know, the classic, you know, mic that we use for here. And then a Shure SM7B, like, one of the ones, like, the thing that everyone says is that it was used by Michael Jackson to record Thriller. So I have all of that. I even did back in like 2010. I did radio like a kind of a trade school. So I have that little bit of a background.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was able to buy it. I even tried to like get artists to like make my logo. And we like with the idea between me and my co-host, my friend, was we were going to make it out of like it was going to be like kind of like a collage. But make all the words out of, like, different candy wrappers.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it was like, oh, it's pop, it's sugar, sweet, and just... But even that fell apart because she never... Like, I gave her the money to buy all the... I got nothing out of that.
So your, like your I gave co-host, her, you gave money to?
No, I gave money to an artist.
An artist.
Like
and
the,
then you got a logo, though.
I got nothing from the artist.
You didn't get a JPEG?
No, zero. Zip. And I knew this person personally. I put like, hey guys, I'm looking, I did like one of those Facebook posts. Like, I'm looking for a logo, can someone please help me? And she reached out and was like, I can help you, this sounds fun, this sounds like something I just want to like get my hands into.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, I knew her as like more of like an illustration, but I saw some of her work since high school and was like, oh yeah, it kind of works with what we
were thinking. Yeah, just send me the money up front.
Yeah, exactly.
Send me the money up
and
front.
And I did, and then just no communication. Total, it was $30, so it's not like I lost a lot of money. It was just like, this is annoying. And then plus, what we were saying was that my co-host wanted to do all of the work. I'm sorry, do all of the recording and, like, no work whatsoever outside of that.
Mm.
Like, I was writing the scripts, bring up the topics. He didn't want to come to me. He was slowly turning into a person, and now he has a kid, so it makes sense. But he just didn't want to leave his domicile. So he just never wanted to go out, even though I lived like 10 minutes away.
Mm.
So I would have to bring my stuff over all
right.
the time.
Right.
And he's like, well, why don't you leave it here? I'm like, I just spent $700 on this equipment. I'm not going to leave it at your house. Even though we've been friends for years, I have no problem with trusting you. I just want this equipment in my possession. So I would like bring like a big duffel bag with all my stuff set up. Inevitably, there'd be a problem. So we did like maybe one or two episodes, and they're like, "Well, we'll get back to it." And I was like, "We're never getting back to this." Yeah.
I mean, I did one in undergrad, and you know, it was the same thing. Like, I bought this software, I bought everything, and like, I did make the people come to me, but I had it set up, you know. And then one of the guys was like, "No, you got to come to me this time." I'm like, "Do you have any of the equipment or microphones?" Or no. It's like, well, and I would even give them like one of our. Co-host, I would give like $20 every time because you know, or I would buy him like MetroCard. This was in New York City.
Yeah.
I went to a new school, you know, and I like give him a MetroCard. I'd give him $20, and he was still just like every time he showed up, he was like, "I'm hungry," so I'd feed him. I'd give him money. He's like, "I don't want to," you know. Like, do you have the equipment? No, I just want to bitch about it. Oh, my God. It's so hard to collaborate with people.
It is. It's tough because you have to get on the same page who's willing to put in this. I played in a lot of bands, and there's always, like, that one band member who wouldn't would drag the project down. And inevitably, for at least for me, and not every band, obviously, but for it would just stop. The project would stop because, like, and it was always the drummer, too, for whatever reason. Just, like, the drummer would stop showing up, would stop getting interested, just, like, all of a sudden. We don't hear. We had the last band I was in, the drummer didn't even like own a drum set. Like, he was using his roommate's drum set. My guitarist, who was a bassist, and I was using his equipment because I'm a bassist, and his equipment was much better than mine. He had everything. He had guitars, the amps, drums. He pretty much stocked the whole band because he's a musician. Like, now he's in a cover band. He does all of that stuff.
Right.
So we would have to provide. Like, pretty much he. I at least was like, if I didn't have the better equipment to play with, I at least had my own somewhat, you know, passable equipment.
And the problem with all of this is, like, just from me running a podcast, right? I have, like, there's a host website called Podbean, and, like, every year it's like $200, but that's an expense. $200 a year.
Overhead.
It's not a lot, but it's a little bit. And, like, you know, if you even self-publish your music to, like,
Spotify.
CD Baby or Spotify or something like this that aggregates it out, that's $50 an album. So, like, after you finish the album, it's another $50 to publish. Plus, then you have to do all this paperwork associated with it.
And that's not even getting into marketing.
You have to, like, take all the MP3s and, like, there's, like, back-end work where it's, like, you have to, like, maybe even modify the MP3 into a WAV file, upload it like this, do all this paperwork. So, if one person's like, can you bring the equipment to my house? And then, can you do the paperwork? And then, can you pay for the whole site?
Yeah.
And then, are you going to write the questions down for the part?
No.
Are you going to, like, research this band because this is what we're going to talk about on the podcast?
No.
it's just like...
Yeah, you got to find those people who are willing to meet. Like, it's like a relationship. You have to meet someone where they're willing to meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have someone... Or, you know, God forbid, like, all of a sudden you meet someone who does more, and you're like, that pushes you to do more.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, because a lot of people who I think want to be creatives, but when they realize there's not just the work being creative... It's like stand-up. You can go up there and talk shit for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever many you get, but then you have to go home and fucking write every day.
And, like, you know, there's also, like, a manager, where a manager can maybe get 10% of your money, but then they can, like, take care of some of your overhead kind of costs. But then, like, you know, you got to watch these people because, like, they're so fucking shady and they want just as much as money as you have instead of their 10%. But it's like you're doing, if you're really a professional performer and that's what you want to specialize in, you got to watch these people, like, whose name is on the checks? Like, watch that shit. Because they're going to start
just
gouging you.
From what I've read and from what, and, you know, especially getting into the business now, is like, I'm just like, own everything is pretty much the name of the game. As much as you can do it yourself, do it yourself, own it, because you'll make more money selling. I think the quote I heard was like, you'll make more money selling $20,000 a year as opposed to you making, you know, your brand making $100 million a year, but everything in the back end gets lost. So you'll make more money.
Yeah, I was hearing Bill Burr and Joe Rogan talk about
that. You know what? That might be exactly what I'm talking about.
But it's very true, and I've just been self-publishing. Man, I tried to do festivals, so I made a stand-up special. I put in a bunch of festivals. I waited like 9 months. Mm-hmm. Like, it was done. I waited 9 months, rejected from one festival, rejected from another, rejected from another, rejected from another. Now they're not even happening.
Well, yeah.
So I spent 9 months to, like, go the traditional showbiz route of waiting, and I lost 9 months of my life. And not only did I not get in, but the thing I was trying to get in
doesn't
is
exist
gone.
Right now. Yeah.
So it's like you're just chasing a ghost. So, like, it's so important to make the right moves. But now I'm, like, putting it myself.
Yeah, I heard. I did listen to a little bit of Carl's podcast, and you are putting out what this week?
Yeah.
The 15th.
So I click publish to Amazon Prime, and I set it for July 15th.
Mm-hmm.
But it said it might take 3 weeks.
Okay, that's...
So it might be August 1st.
Okay.
But it's in the process. I can't make it go any faster. One thing we're worried about is, in the credits, I said thank you to porn, gambling, or, you know, weedgamblingandpornhub.com. Now, allegedly, saying Pornhub.com is a violation. Because on Amazon, you're not allowed to promote other websites.
Got it. That makes sense, but yeah.
But I'm wondering if they won't catch it.
Because it's at the end.
Because it's at the end. I'm also wondering if they won't catch it because it's like we can argue it's content. We can argue it's a joke.
Yeah.
I thank gambling.
Yes. The power of three is there. So yeah. You have gambling. What was the other one?
Weed.
And then Pornhub.
Pornhub.com. Like a special thanks.
Yeah.
So like it's a joke, but my editor and I were talking, and he might have to take a black bar over the .com mm-hmm. and just scroll it. And that's going to take another month.
Yeah, because of...
It's going to have to go back in the
quality. I did a little bit of video editing. Yeah, I know how much it is just to render frame by frame. Just a black bar to follow it up.
For the .com, and then it has to scroll over that. Okay, now it's legal too.
Yeah.
But a lot of my jokes are like really filthy too, and I'm wondering if it'll get flagged for that or, you know, whatever.
I mean, if it's behind a paywall, it seems so weird that would be flagged because that means you're going in with the expectation knowing that there's going to be probably like a content warning, right? Like,
yeah.
Presumably there's going to be a content warning.
Yeah, and I said, like, it wasn't rated by the MPA, but I said, like, you know, you have to be 16 or older to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, that scroll, so I'm hoping, like, this is for, you know, older people. It's not for kids, you know, but whatever. But it's like, if I was dragging along, like, if I had a comedy partner, right? And yeah. I was a duo with this person, and I was taking on all this burden of, like, dealing with Amazon.com, dealing with, like, the distribution. Right. Like, you know, every time you submit to a film festival, I mean, it's literally like applying to college. Like the application is, like...
You have to write an essay?
Oh, my God. Yes, you do. Yes, you fucking do. You have to go, what's a short blurb? What's a longer blurb?
Oh, okay.
Like, you have to do
I was expecting a prompt, but no, that actually makes sense.
No, like, what's the synopsis if it's in a little book, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then if you're, like, a featured one, they want, like, a 30-word long synopsis. Then they want a 140-word long synopsis. Then they want to know where all the actors are from. Then they want to know if you have any, like, any Native Americans are on your cast. Like... Any lesbians who are transitioning to, you know, a different gender.
All the things that they could tick off the box. Like, and just, yeah.
Yeah. Is anyone from the American Samoa with a disability?
Is anyone from Cleveland?
Yeah.
They have a weird Cleveland thing going on.
Yeah, they're very well underrepresented. And
you know, ever since LeBron left, they're sad, and we want people to see representation.
So, like, the paperwork. You come from back.
Yeah.
You bring the equipment, I will pay for nothing. It's like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah. No, that doesn't, it is. And like, he's still a good friend of mine, no issues, but my wife did recently say that like, Dan likes, oh, I just said, whatever, fuck him.
Fuck you, Dan.
I love you, Dan, but yeah, he's just like, he likes to take all the credit and not do a lot of the work.
Yeah. Just bring it for my genius. Because
yeah.
I'm such a smart guy. You know I'm so. You know me. You know how I talk to people. I'm so smart. So just bring it to me. It's like, really? Well, did you do prep, though?
I thought I saw a car coming.
Yeah, that was about to be an accident right there. We almost watched an accident happen. I hate that shit. And that happens in art at every level.
Yeah.
At every level of art. It's like, you know, you pay for a JPEG. You think you got a banner for your podcast. Not really.
No. And not only was it paying for the art itself, I was paying for the materials to make said art that I didn't even get to see, like, a mock-up of.
Wait a minute. You gave this person a canvas and paints?
No, like money, because it was just going to be kind of like a photo that she made all of the logos out of, like, candy wrappers and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, like, you know, buying the candy and all that stuff. Just, like, so because...
You gave her art materials to make an art project.
I gave her the funds to purchase art materials on her own. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So what was her margin going to be? If you gave her 30 and she spent 15 on candy and
I think
cabbage,
initially we were doing like $50 for the, and then she's like, can I get money for that? And I was like, that's fair. That's understandable. That wasn't factored into our price. I said, I'd pay you for that for the completed project. So in my mind, I was like, that makes sense. You know, you're doing the work. I'm paying you for the work, but you need the materials. I'm not going to remove that out of your pay.
Was she a bigger girl? Do you think she went to the candy store and just...
No, she's a very, very rail thin person. She is... I don't know what she did. And honestly, it was more just... There was more problems to be had. The fact that I had to keep moving the stuff. That this was like... out of my mind for the... I was like, well, okay. Of course, there's another thing I'm going to have to work on. And then... it just was like, I can't keep doing this. We'll get back to it. We'll revisit it. He calls me. He's like, hey, when you want to do this? It's like, maybe when you can come to my place and, like, I have a spot to actually do things. Because I was kind of living in a spot where it wouldn't be conducive for that. So it was, but it just never ended up working out. And it's fine. He does Twitch now, so good for him.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, it's a lot of work. That's why I like the Zoom recorder, because
it's here, you sit it, you leave it alone.
The other important aspect is, like, going in the automobile, closing the doors, because I used to, like, you know, go into the stand-up venue, like, early.
I mean, remember, I think the first time I met you, you were doing Brian St. John in the back.
Then people would walk by, like, right to the microphone. It's like, can you get the fuck away from me right now?
It's because you're like, oh, you would understand, we're doing something great. No, they just, they're, I mean, people are assholes.
So I close the door, I lock the door, and I say, go away.
It's a nice studio.
Look at this lovely studio called My Toyota Prius. But yeah, speaking of other, like, dude, like, roommate stuff is like, one of my roommates, you know, I got all these.
Yeah, I was
like,
hearing a little bit of that from that Carl episode. Yeah,
like,
it was.
Each one of them is giving me problems. Like, you know, like, you know, if I have, like, a big bottle of vodka, that's a problem because I'm going to, like, maybe drink too much, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I've started to do is, like, buy, like, the airplane bottles.
Oh, yeah. The little guys. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, when I get home after a long day of work, you know, I'll take a little guy and then I'll have three beers and I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, when there's alcohol that's cold in the neutral fridge, they just go. And it's like, what the hell?
He's what, they're taking it?
Yeah. Okay. And my roommate's like, well, it was there, and, you know, I didn't have any.
I've never had that happen to me, but it's happened to me at work.
So. But it was cold, I needed one, and it's like, you needing one has nothing to do with, it's like, so then go get one.
It's cold, okay, fine. Replace it. It's an easy fix.
But it's like, not. But then they'll, like, forget it. Like, they'll just in a blackout fucking truck. And so, like, you know, whatever. So I purposely kept all my booze warm. I bought, like, a 24-pack of beer for a good price. I kept it all warm. It was left untouched.
Yeah.
But when it's frosty cold and it's
the
in
temptation
the fridge,
is too much.
It's
for
just
some
right
people.
There. Yeah. It's right there. I can't just take this right now. So at one point, it was, like, taking some of my beers and then would, like, give me $2 each for them, and there would be, like, singles where the beers were. You know what I mean?
I mean, which is good.
Which is not right.
Which is good, but not when you want to drink and all of a sudden you have two frosty, you know, George Washingtons hanging out, you know.
It's like this, I can't drink a dollar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and not right away, obviously.
Did I go to the bank and get dollars, or did I go to the liquor store and get a couple beers for myself?
Yeah.
Right? So then it's like, all right. So it's just like, keeps on, like, moving the...
Yep. Moving. I looked over, I was like, this is going to be a very difficult point to have this conversation at this moment.
Are you booty gazing right now?
I mean, you're booty gazing alone. We're booty gazing together.
I'm trying to tell a story.
I know, but I saw your face.
A big booty would just walk by. It's hard to focus.
I've never had really bad roommate problems, except one. But really, what I'm thinking more is, like, going away and coming back and then having everything kind of just, like, thrown out of whack. Like, I had a job that I got laid off from 2 years ago, and I helped a friend get, like, a similar position, like, next to mine. And he was a coworker in an old job, and he sent me a resume, and it was in a text file. Like, not a Word document, in a notepad from Windows.
Mm.
And I read it, I was like, you're never going to get this job. So I sat with him for, like, 3 hours that night, over the phone. I would make the changes on my computer, and I formatted it, make it look real nice, send it back. He would tell me what he needs to add, what he needs to remove.
You help somebody
literally get a job.
Get a job with their resume.
They were working at a factory where they had an injury, and the job had turned sour since I had left because of some management changes, and he was not happy there anymore. I was getting him out of that situation and getting him to a situation where he works in an office as opposed to working physical. I get him a job, and then that leads him to get, like, three more people jobs. Like, people I kind of know and people I don't know.
You like, had a... If you look at the economy of New Jersey...
It was, there was...
Kyle Colorado shows up, changed people's resume, all of a sudden, a whole township is
employed. Pretty much, and they're all from one town. So they all drive... It was in Edison. They lived a little bit further south, and I lived in Eatontown, which was on the way. We would drive up together. It was great. It was a great carpool. I go to New Orleans for 1 week. Come back, and they're like, hey, it's actually too much money to like pick you up because you're right by that parkway entrance where it hits 25, like you hit the right. dollar twice. I'm like, yeah, but you're only driving one day a week. What's the difference? Like, if you were by yourself, you'd be hitting that toll every day. They kicked me out of
the carpool group
that I started. It's just like one of those things, like, I was gone. I was on vacation. I relaxed. I'm coming in a much more,
right.
just peaceful, zen. And Sunday, it was Sunday night. It was literally hours before I would, like, go to bed and wake up and expect a carpool. They sent me in a group text message, but only the person who I knew the best sent me a message. I was like, I did so much for you.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be like, I get it. If they came to me and was like, hey, it's cramped in the car, which I'm assuming was the case. Five people in a car kind of like this, it's cramped.
Mm.
It sucks. If they go, hey, it's kind of cramped, do you mind if you just drive? I would be like, yeah, no problem. I totally understand. But kicking me, like, hey, we all decided.
That's where your organization skills turned against you.
Yeah.
Because you organized this, and then one of them was absorbing your skills of organization said, wait a minute, we're paying for the turnpike twice.
Yeah.
Someone woke from an unemployed slumber, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait a minute, we're paying for this twice.
It was, you know? He was getting paid like $12 an hour and got up to like $17, $18. Like, I gave him a significant, and then we all got laid off, and then he got another job at office. I'm like, you wouldn't have got that job if it wasn't for this first one. Literally, our team was hiring so fast that they were just pulling in people, and they were basing it on good employees who can be like, I can vouch for that person.
Right.
So
you vouch for them, they get you the job, and they stab you right in the fucking
head. Yeah,
weren't you taking turns driving, too? So wouldn't carpool?
Literally, it would be like sometimes we started off maybe like 1 week someone would drive the entire time, or you would just choose certain days. Like, because there was five people, Monday, Friday, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, you would have, so you would only have to drive once.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't understand, like, if you're hitting it twice, you're still overall saving money.
You're only driving once a week.
You're only driving once a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I could, you know, I even offered, hey, I'll even meet you at like exit 98 where there's the park and ride on the rest stop.
Right.
So you don't have, it's like, no. But I'm like, then this isn't about the money.
Well, decided we're cutting you out.
Yeah, it was disheartening to say the least.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's one of those things, like you said, where you meet someone. Literally, I met them where they were like at a text. Like, I didn't go, no, you know what, I'll just send this in and I don't care. I'm like, I want you to get this job. Also, I got $500 for it, but, you know, that's a one-time paycheck. It's not like I was getting $5,000.
Oh, you have like a headhunting fee.
Yeah, a $500 paycheck. Right, it's not like life-changing money, but I put in more work.
We got that $500, we got Pepper Turnpike twice.
Exactly. It was, yeah, it's, it, people like, I don't know, the people who wait to, like, ruin your mood after a vacation are probably, like, my least favorite people of all time.
Yeah, I get home from a vacation, I'm like, oh, wow, I have all these green onions. Oh, wait.
Oh, no, I have just the ends.
Oh, thank God I learned a behavior, so I savored my beers.
Yes.
Right, I learned a behavior, because he's not going to take... It's
hot
too
beer.
Much for him to take hot beer and then cool it, because somewhere he would wake up and go, this is not mine.
Yeah.
But when it's cold produce now, it's
in a,
like,
communal spot. That's a, like,
but
that's,
it's in my private crisper.
Yeah,
so
he clearly doesn't see that boundary.
So, not only this, okay, if that's not enough, imagine, you know, again, it's a line that shelves, it's half and half.
Yeah.
My mozzarella, I had a baseball of mozzarella.
Oh, the little ball of mozzarella.
You know?
Grace gets that.
It literally went from my side when I got back from vacation to his side. Not only that, because I was like, where's my fucking mozzarella? I know for a fact, I was like, I had big plans for it. Not only am I going to make a pizza, but half of it is going to be for sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I am the food prep champ. Like, I prep food. I'll make like six sandwiches at a time. I'll have one of the, you know what I mean? Because I'm lazy in the future. So
yes.
I just grab a sandwich.
So you're busy for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then you have laziness.
One day a week where I'll marinate all this food. I'll do all this shit. I'll prep all this food. And then it's just in Tupperwares. Bah, 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 bah. And then I'll eat, you know. And so it's like I have like perfect food balance, you know. And so my mozzarella made it not only to his side, but he had all these Tupperwares stacked up. He put it in the middle of his Tupperwares.
So he knows what he's doing.
He basically built a fort of Tupperware and then hid my mozzarella deep in the fort.
Like it was the rubber, princess. It's the Rubbermaid castle. I can't get
it. It was the princess of the castle. And I'm like, that's my fucking mozzarella. Why is it in your, like, the deepest part of your fucking part, man?
Yeah.
And so it's like, now I'm thinking, okay, not only, we're going to put a fucking piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I have to put a curtain so you can't see?
Yeah, so you're not tempted by
my
what's
tasty
it.
Beverages?
Yeah.
If you can't text me, oh, you were like, you were busy, so... And that's what he said one time when he drank one of my fucking shooters.
Yeah.
One of my little vodka airplane bottles. He's like, well, you know, you were doing a podcast, so I couldn't even talk to you, so I figured I'd just take it. It's like...
No, that's... you figure the opposite, you go...
The fridge is half my... Like, it's not vague.
The space is half yours.
It's literally... There's a line drawn in the middle, and that's not yours, because you're too lazy to fucking get your own or whatever. Yeah. And, like, I have a car... So, like, I'll, like, drive him to ShopRite, like, multiple times a week, right? I'll drive him to the grocery store multiple times, and we'll go, do you need liquor? We're going to the liquor store, you know? And it's like... And then to still...
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what to do now.
Again, you're meeting someone much further than they're willing to meet you.
Okay. So let me say part two about this. This person, you know... Yeah, I'm saying too much. This person, you know, they also sometimes partake in cocaine. And then they're my manager. Okay? So when this person does cocaine... Like, we're friends. This is my friend, right? Right?
Roommate or just a person?
Roommate.
Okay,
roommate,
just making sure.
Who I share a fridge with, right?
Yeah.
When he does coke, he's my manager. And what I mean by that is he'll be like... pitching to me all these business plans, right?
Oh.
And they're my manager now. And so, like, that, they're like, oh, well, I'll be your security guard, and then I'll get this going, and then blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I'll get you into this club because you don't know about this club, and then I'll get you... And, like, this person has had an opportunity to watch my stand-up special. I had my stand-up special. I tried to play it for him. And he, like, was like, stop. Okay, let me give you notes. No.
This is done.
You're going to watch all of this. So, like, that's... you know, but it's like, why would I let you be my manager in stand-up, right? That is something I've worked my entire life for. When my mozzarella is on one side of the fridge, and then it goes in a castle of your... That is a... You know what I mean?
I mean, if we're going to go back to what you just said, people are taking a lot off the top. He's literally taking your mozzarella off the top. Fuck
you, Gabriel.
Gabriel, if you're listening later, we waved at you.
I tried to wave to you, and you just walked by. So it's like, but that's a character thing, right? It's someone's character.
Yeah.
If you would take my mozzarella, later on, there's like, oh, he didn't know he sold this venue out, so there's a bonus. He just take the bonus and say nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, it is an easy, like, if you're justifying, where does it end? If you're justifying taking mozzarella out of a shared space.
Yeah.
If you're his manager and you're like, well, I technically run his money, why wouldn't I?
Or my vodka shooters.
Yeah.
Which it's like, I got those because I have self-control problems.
Yeah.
So if it's in a shooter, I go, I have one shot. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a bot. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm like trying to like go, like, I have some demons and I've been drunk as fuck on this podcast before talking like an idiot. And then later on, like 2 years later, I'd find a podcast and edit stuff out because I sound like such a fucking retard, you know? And so it's like. So I have self-control issues. I got problems. I got big problems, you know. My romantic life is all fucked up from this quarantine. Didn't help either.
Oh, I bet it didn't. I saw a marriage just fall apart today. Not in real time, but it was like, oh, you know, getting divorced is okay. Breaking up. I was like, ooh.
When did you? Who?
It was just, like an old friend of mine. Not super close. Someone who years ago.
By the way, you want this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love seltzer. I was actually thinking about getting some on the way here. Thank you.
Yes.
You read my mind. So it was just someone who. I kind of went on a date with her once to go see the movie This Is the End, but then, like, her now soon-to-be ex-husband showed up at one point. I was like, well, I guess this is... Like, they were kind of talking, but they weren't. I was like, all right, well, clearly, like, came with her mom. Like, he showed up with, like, her mom, and I was like, all right, well, this is...
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a weird... I watched the movie, and I was like, thank you for the lovely time. And I was like, that's the end of it.
Right.
And I had no hard feelings. They seemed like they were going...
Yeah, I think you're already friends with the mom, so it's like, man, I can't even, like...
Yeah, you got an in somewhere that I don't even have. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but the thing was, I think, I realized, I was looking back, because I was like, when was the last time they took a photo? Because I'm like a fucking snooth. Like a little sleuth. I want to see what happened. And, like, there was nothing big, but I remembered, I was like, oh, they got married and then moved in together. And I've had a theory that, like, that does not work like it used to back in the day.
I agree.
Grace and I, we started living together 2016. We got married this year. You know?
Four years of
being together, of, like, learning our personality quirks.
Yeah.
And being like, this is still okay.
Yeah. So, I would want to live with someone, I think, for 1 year.
I don't understand the people who, like, I met someone 6 months in, were dating. I was like, that's not enough time. Like, maybe it is. Like, to me, it's not enough time, and if it works, you must have gotten lucky then. Like, because there's no way, statistically, that should work.
Yeah.
You should learn to, like, live with, like, cohabitate with someone. Because, like, you can get, like, hey, it's just easier to afford an apartment in this pricey area. Is to live with at least one other person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, especially in a romantic, you get to learn. Like, you know, I'm an emotional person. I don't really, like, rely on a lot of people, but her. Like, she is not an emotional person. What? She's like, why are you so clean? Like, it's very much a reverse role.
Wow.
Yeah, I am so, like, Capricorn, Cancer, I'm just like, I need to be, like, held right now. And she's like, please get away from me. Like, please, like, she's like, words she has said to me, phrases that makes me laugh because it's just ridiculous. She's like, the feeling of you touching me makes me want to throw up. Just, like, in a moment. But then later...
Like, let's marry that girl.
Yeah, but then later she'll be like, oh, why haven't you hold me? I'm like, remember the thing you said earlier?
Right.
I don't know when the changeover happens.
Right.
She's not like me, who can mostly do that 24/7.
Right.
We balance each other out.
Yeah, men are like dogs. It's like, if you got the tennis ball, we're like, wah, 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 wah.
But yeah, so she is just... So it's very much a role reversal in compared to society on that one. So, but I just... Again, I can't see myself... Like, if I was ever, like, you know, end up single again, I can't imagine being like, I meet someone, we're going to get married in 2 months. Like, that just does not compute in my head.
Yeah.
It's just, so that's what I think, is just, like, with this quarantine situation. Like, they got married, I think, like, almost a year ago or a year ago, and then they moved it. Like, they must have just learned a lot about each other, especially once things shut down.
Yeah.
And I know he was a car salesman, so it's not like he was selling a lot of cars for all. So they probably spent a lot of time together that they didn't expect.
This was a tough situation. I had something like that in undergrad at the new school. Like, before, so I met, the second 2 years of undergrad, I was living with a girl. But before I met her, right, that I was kind of dating this other girl. But I knew that she was also dating this other guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, we're both dating her. I'll take her on 2 or 3 dates. And if she doesn't pick me, then that's it. Then I'll forfeit, right? So I'm like... all depressed. So I show up to her house one time to play N64. And I go, how many controllers do you have? I'm thinking, I'm the boss hog. She goes, I have 2. I said, cool. So I went to this shitty secondhand place. I bought 2 N64 controllers. Wow. I show up.
4.
Now we all play together. So I show up and me and her roommates in the college dorm are all playing N64 together, and who shows up? The other guy. The other guy, right? And so now we're the two guys, and we know each other. We're in sketch club together at the new school. We know each other very well.
So this isn't like a strange... This is someone you have an acquaintance
with. I'm in a club with this person, and we both like the same woman. Okay?
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Okay, so after I left, she was friends with... one of my very good friends, also in the sketch club, called Rob Maynard. I called Rob Maynard right after I left her. I texted him that night, and I said, all of her friends were there. I left the party. This other guy left the party. Who did they say she liked more? Because I knew that her friends are going to pick, basically.
Of course,
it was both two guys in front of all of her friends. The friends are going to go, bah, 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 and pick, right?
And at least, if not pick, but at least, like, push in a direction.
Right, exactly, right? Yeah. So I was like, there was so much, all of her best friends were right there. The decision was going to happen at the N64 party.
Mm-hmm.
Unanimously. Rob goes, I'm sorry, bud, they were all picking the other guy. I was like, devastated. I was like, fuck, man. So then there was this party at the new school that was a drag party, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going. Yeah. So I bought a dress at Salvation Army. I put a stupid I clipped a mop on my head, and I show up and I see the girl and the guy making out.
All right.
And so, I'm like, all right, you know.
That's for you, that's closure, right?
That's it. That's closure, right? So then there's a lip sync contest. I entered it. And I said, I was playing this character called Tabitha. I was getting hammered drunk because I was so depressed that this girl... Oh, of course.
It's closure. It doesn't feel good.
No. Yeah. I was depressed. I was, like, hammered. And I was like, oh, Tabitha, blowjobs are a nickel, but you're allowed to tip. Anyway, I'm going to do a song. This is Hit Me Baby One More Time because my boyfriend's abusive. So I did this whole thing, and then I pulled a girl out from the audience, and I put her fist up like she was going to fist me at the finale of this. Mm-hmm. So I had so that girl turned out to be my girlfriend, okay? Later on in this party, the girl leaves that I was upset over.
Yes.
Okay? Okay? Here's the switch. The dude made out with a dude.
Oh. Oh.
Right?
Dressed as a woman?
Dressed as a woman. Maybe it was confusing. There was a lot of sexual energy there. Okay? Mm-hmm. I confronted him in a way that I still think about all the time. This conversation I had, I was like, you didn't have any inkling that you're gay? Like, so if we're both, like, openly, like, going for the same girl,
yeah,
right? And you want cock, like, 40%, right? Yeah. You want your puss and eat your cock, too? Bro, like, you can't, you want it both ways? So we were pitted against each other. I got devastated I lost this girl competition. And you also were
also,
into dudes?
Also had more options than you do, technically. Technically, he has more options because...
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it's like... And we went to the new school, which was, like, fucking 80% gay.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know...
Listen, I've been in drama club. I get it.
You know what I mean? So if you're a straight guy, it was a superpower. And the fact that we both liked the same girl at the same time was, like, a little... Like, you know what I mean? I was furious. But it all worked out because I did actually, from that performance, get...
Yes.
That stand-up...
Which, lip-sync performance.
Lip-sync performance. I actually got a girlfriend that I lived with the last 2 years. Yeah. But it was weird it happened that night. It was like there was a full moon that night.
It was, something. Yeah. I mean, that's very interesting because, all right, so you get closure, but you're still depressed. But because you're depressed, you kind of go a little bit, like, full
tilt.
Yeah,
I just went crazy.
You went full tilt, which probably was like, oh, this guy is a little... Yeah. And people, you know, people respect. Like, they may not, like... consciously, but people respect people going full tilt.
Here's another part.
You may be like, that guy's fucking ridiculous, but there's a part of you inside like, good for you.
Yeah, but here's the other part that was annoying, is the girl that I ended up living with and everything, and she only went to that party because she had a crush on that guy.
Oh, wow.
So everyone was going after... He was a handsome man. I'm a little jealous of that, of how handsome he
but
was.
But you can at least...
retrospect.
You can be, like, objectively a handsome dude.
But I was funnier. And so
that's always...
And also, this girl who became my girlfriend, she went to, like, all of our sketch club performances. Yeah. And then she told me that later, but she had a crush on that guy.
Well, you know, sometimes you win things. Grace had zero interest in me. My friend Dan, podcast Dan from before.
Fuck you. Buy some equipment, you fucking cocksucker.
This is actually good. He fucked up. I had a party at a house I was living at. He heard from our mutual friend Marissa that was like, oh, Grace likes Kyle. And then he fucking fed me that for a year, and I'm just, like, trying and, like, kind of getting, like, this weird vibe. And I'm like, does she, like, and, like, she's super unemotional, and guys kind of immediately... think that she doesn't like them because she just doesn't give everyone, like, she's like, I'm not here to kiss your ass, essentially, and guys like it when girls kiss ass, so I'm just like, is it, and then finally I like going for a kiss, we're dating, everything's great, I'm like, when did you start liking me? And she's like, oh, when we started hanging out by ourselves. And I'm like, that was 2 months ago. A year ago I was told that you, she's like, oh, I had zero interest in you whatsoever.
Wow.
And I was like, what's happening? And I'm like, I called Dan, and he's like, no, dude. Like Marissa said, we all got together, congregated at a bar, and Marissa walks in. I'm like, Marissa, what did you say to Dan, like, that party? And she turns to Dan's like, Dan, I said Grace and Kyle would be good together. And he's like, oh, drunk Dan heard differently. So he is like one of those people who, like, I heard something, I'm not going to correct myself. And he fed that, like, he pretty much...
He was like, yo, I have inside information.
Exactly.
Because another girl who has nothing to do with the situation said they would make a good couple.
Like, Marissa's her best friend, but still,
right,
totally miss her the situation.
Now, you know, the butterfly flag, right? You make a decision at one point, and then, like, when that guy who you had a crush on the girl, right?
Yeah.
The guy shows up with her mom.
Yeah.
And, like, just casually, oh, I just drove her here. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And now they've broken up. Like, you could have been in that relationship.
100%.
And you could have got divorced in 1 year. Maybe you would have the same problem.
Exactly. There's so many things. Like, I think even that night when I go and make out with Grace, who had zero interest in me, I was like, wow, why did you hang out with me? She's like, well, the friendship was over at that point. Like, in her mind, she's like, we can't be friends. You crossed that barrier.
Right, right.
So I'm going to give this a shot because... what the hell? Like, what's...
Wow.
Yeah, she's very pragmatic, and that's why we're together. But what if she said no? Like, what if... she, like, I wouldn't have fought for that.
What if she was, like, Weinstein's lawyer later?
Exactly.
And was like, look...
Oh, 100%. That is a Me Too story that ended up in the fucking good direction. Like,
it ended up in a marriage instead of a courtroom.
Exactly. It is... Well, it still might end up in a... We're not sure. We're not sure yet, but, you know. Yeah, so it's just... It is. I think about those things where it's like... I mean, if she said no, I'd be like, all right, I guess I'll go kill myself. Like,
right.
Because, like, if you put yourself out there and you're reaching in, like,
oh, yeah.
We're totally vibing right now. She's like, oh, I'm not even close to on your vibe.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Different frequencies on a different universe. But, like, all right, I'm going to go kill myself because I put myself out so emotionally right there.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's just, like, one of those things where it's, like, if you didn't have that moment seeing them make out together, like, let's say they don't up, maybe you don't do that performance nearly as well, and you don't date that girl for 2 years.
Right, because I wasn't so fucking bold and crazy where I was, like, I had the self-esteem to try to get that girl to fist me as Tabitha in a lip-sync competition.
Exactly.
And she's like, this guy's onto something.
Yeah, I like the cut of this guy's jib right there.
It started with a pantomime fist. Literally was my first, not a kiss, a fist was my first move. So the other thing I did, I was wearing a dress. Before the fist, I put a wine bottle on the ground, and I bent over the wine bottle with my dress, and I just put it between my legs, and I stood up with the wine bottle, like, I made it disappear into my vagina, and people were dying laughing. So I was like, because I'm killing right now with this bit of trying to put the wine bottle in my pussy, I also, like, literally scrunchied a mop to my head, and I had lipstick all over my fucking face, and I looked like a trailer fucking crackhead. So the bit was, like, killing, you know? So, I felt like if you're... That's the beauty of stand-up, too. Like, if you're killing at stand-up, you can literally, like, look at... I was at the Comedy Store one time, and I saw Don Barris, like, do a set, like, at 1:30 in the morning when I lived in Los Angeles. And he... There was this, like, old grandma with her whole family and this beautiful... Like, they were sitting in the booth. They were a beautiful family. And they go, oh, what's your grandma's name? Beatrice. Oh, how old is she? 89. I bet she's a... And Don Barris is like, I bet she's a dirty fucking whore. I bet she's done some sloppy fucking whore shit in 1920 that she took it in her ass. And she was fucking dying laughing. And I was like, wow, like, he's being hilarious right now. He's killing. He's saying the worst thing in front of the family. And, like, they... You know, they didn't even know someone saying this, doing this line of joke was possible.
Yeah. No, you know? The first time I ever did well, I won't say killing, but, like, when I was like, this is going well, and every move I made was the right move.
Yeah.
It was actually at an open mic right behind the Brighton Bar. Uh-huh. This place called Ron's that was going on for a little while, and then it shut down. And... So it was like it's a townie bar. It's like old people who just who've lived in Long Branch their entire life.
Yeah.
No one can crack them. Like they were just not into it, but they were paying attention, but they weren't into it. And like my guesstimation of the time of like right there was like they kind of remind me of my family. If my family was white trash, like that's kind of what I took it as. Like my family can be very white trashy, but they just all went into banking, so. They're on the richer side.
Right.
Like, besides, like, my parents and stuff like that. Like, my mom's side of the family. I'm just like, they just kind of had that similar vibe. The host was bringing me up, and she was actually... She messed up because she was writing down people's, like, credits and what they were going, like, promoting stuff. And she was about to bring up St. John, but she's like, oh, no, he just came in. And then was like... I'm like... And I realized, I'm like, oh, I wrote down, like, my improv show. I'm like, these fucking people don't care about improv. Like, they barely care about this. Like, they're not going to come to an improv show.
A bunch of townies aren't going to like me.
Exactly. So I was just like, no. I was like, don't. I was like, cut it. Don't do it. She's like, really? She's like, yeah, just don't say it. And I was like, well, I have to kind of admit what, like, explain why I just did that. So I go up and I was like, hey, guys. What she was about to say was, I have an improv show coming up. So, yes. I'm into stand-up and to improv. I'm like, every person's here's worst nightmare for a kid. Pop. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, all right, you guys kind of remind me of my family. Like, I think you'll teach me how to play poker just so you can steal money from me using poker. And I'm just like, and every joke. And it's so funny how it's just like, when you crack that crowd, you're just like, oh, you see every move. It's happened a couple times, but it's crazy because when you're saying that, like, he must have seen that, like, okay, they're kind of into that, and was just like, they probably didn't see it coming.
Right.
Being someone on stage, you have that moment of just like what feels like clairvoyance, and you're like, I could do this, and they're going to eat it up.
And also, like, they came to a stand-up show, and they know that this is a subversive place, that and too. They're sitting in the booth, and they all have a drink, and they're not going to be injured. Like, everyone is safe. But the words I say through this microphone are my own choice, right?
Yeah.
But it's also like, you can also like, you were saying they're all trailer park trash. So they kind of have like a little bit more of a degenerate behavior. Maybe they drink too much. Maybe they gamble
And they
too much.
Know that about themselves.
And they know that about themselves.
But I think because I came off with like, I know who I am. And I, like, this is who I'm like, I'm into comedy. Like, there's no, I'm an artsy person. There's no way we would be compatible as, like, if I was your kid.
Mm.
And they go, yep, we recognize that. We laugh at that. And, like, okay, but you're also some scummy people who would teach me how to play poker, but steal money from me because you taught me poker bad.
Right.
And they'd be like, that's exactly who we are.
You
and
got me pegged,
yeah. And it's like, that's exactly what we would do. It's crazy when you get those moments where you're like, we are, like, it's a very simpatico. Yeah, yeah. You understand each other.
Yeah.
And I've been chasing that high ever since. I remember I took a week and a half off, and I just like, do I even want to do this? Because as I drove by, I'm like, oh, this bar's not gonna understand me. It's just one of those things that made me go, all right, sometimes you may not understand it, but sometimes you might understand them.
Yeah.
And you might be able to like meet somewhere.
Your skills can be sharp, but still, the crowd might just fucking hate you. Like,
yeah.
when I did my tour, like, I remember one time I had this joke about hipsters, you know, and I did it in Baton Rouge, and it fucking killed. The next night, I'm in a gay bar in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and hosted by Jeff D, who is hilarious. I love Jeff DeRudin, and he is this big fat gay guy, and I do my hipster jokes, and they fucking hated it. And I was like, man, all these gay people in this, if I did all my like sex jokes, I think they would be more into that.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, because it was like there was all the transvestites and all this, like, so if I was like crazy and did all my sex jokes, I think I would have like killed there, but I picked the wrong joke for the wrong crowd.
It's probably because they probably see themselves as hipster, even they may not admit it. They're just like,
no, it's just I don't think they like hipsters.
They just didn't want to hear
old queens don't care about millennial hipsters.
Totally. Okay, now I understand. Okay. Yes.
So they were like elderly queens, right? Like 60-year-old gay guys, instead of, like, you know, millennials who hate other millennials.
Yes.
And that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like this kind of millennial.
This subsection,
right?
Of the group that I'm part of.
Because they're like, oh, you didn't know this band? Oh, yes. I'm friends with the band. So I was, like, doing jokes like this, and they're like, we don't care about any of those people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't see those people in our lives, so why are you bringing it up?
Right. But then when I did it in Baton Rouge, everyone was between 20 and 30, and
so
it fucking killed.
Oh, yeah, it was literally the target.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're just talking comic. When did you start? I haven't even asked you any of these questions.
I started 2018, literally January 8th.
2 years in.
So right here. I remember specifically it was...
At the Brighton Bar.
Yeah, it was because I remember specifically why I wanted to do it. Because I was thinking about this question because I was like, I know some of the questions you normally ask. So I had this one kind of ready to go.
You're just going to give me the pre-roll, prepackaged one?
No, it's still a little loose. I didn't want to... Too prepackaged, you know.
Tell your story. Fuck you, man.
All right.
Unless I'll call Dan and have him not buy equipment again. Fuck you, Dan. Buy the equipment and get out of your fucking house when you're doing a podcast.
Well, now don't. You have Isaac. Please actually live with your kid.
And your dreams and raise your kid.
Yeah, I think I was scared for a long time. I don't think I realized it, but I just think it took me a long time.
You did improv because you were scared to do stand-up?
I did improv and comedy at the same time. I actually got in... What happened was, I was talking about doing it for about 5 years. I was like... I had a conversation with an aunt's sister. So the aunt who married into the family, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, like, a music supervisor out in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I did Groundlings. It's great. Because I talked mm-hmm. to her how I was into comedy. So there was just like, oh, I should do it. But I was always broke. I was always too... It was just like... Yeah. And I only knew of the bit, like, UCB, Second City. Oh, I only knew those. I didn't really do any of my research, which was dumb. But... So I was just like... It was like one of those things I was using as an excuse. It's too far out there. I don't have the money. And then one day, I followed Chris Gethard. You know Chris Gethard?
He was my level 2 teacher.
There you go. So...
No, level 3 at UCB.
So his followers have a group on Facebook called Gethards. I was in it. I was a very big fan of the Chris Gethard show. All of a sudden, I see a post one day saying, hey, we're starting an improv group in Asbury. No experience needed. We will help you learn. You could be Chris Gethard. You could be the first, literally walking in. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. It's exactly what I need. It's close, but I looked into this person. It's this comedian who doesn't live. She lives in Boston now. It's like a 23-year-old Emmy Crown. She hasn't been around much, especially since you came back. But regardless, I was like, I looked into her, I was like, oh, she went to UCB. I was like, oh, she's going to an open mic out in Asbury. They have open mics in Asbury? Mm. Let me go see. And that was like the first time I ever saw open mic comedy. And I go, I can do that.
Right, right.
Like, I've only ever watched specials, go to shows where it's, you know... It's at the top of the game for those people where they're just like, I've honed this material down for at least 2 years and now I'm taking it on the road.
Sure, sure.
So I've never seen, like, the seed of comedy.
Right, right.
And that was the time I was like, oh, I could do that. And then I did it. And then I learned I couldn't do it because I didn't, you know, I had to learn it. But I was like, that was the hurdle. That was that mental hurdle that goes, oh. And then so all of a sudden while I was at Anchor's Bend, it was Anchor's Bend in Asbury, Heather Lowry, who used to run this mic, she was like, oh, there's a mic at Brighton Bar. I was like, oh, I've been in bands, played at the Brighton Bar. I know exactly where it is. That's a safe place. So I go I didn't even realize it was the first night. I thought it was just something that's been going on. And Heather grabs me and is like, you want to do this? Put your name in. I was like, oh, no, I'm here to watch. I don't have any material yet. But as I watched over, it was in December. I was like, all right. It's becoming the beginning of the year, and now I realize how much of a cliche that is to be like, New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've seen those too many times now at this point where I'm just like, okay, calm down. Mm-hmm. But I stuck out with it. I was like, all right, I'm just going to start at the beginning of the new year. And just, and that was my...
So that was January 1st, 2018.
The first Monday, I think, was an 8th. So, yeah, so I was just like, yep.
Nice.
That's I've been going ever since. That's why I come here. That's why, this place can be... Up, down, but it's just like
practice.
It is.
Practice.
It is.
It's like when it's down and you have that shitty show and you still get up. Like, later on, like, if you're ever, like, in a theater or arena, you're like, I earned this fucking shit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, from the nights.
Shows I've done.
Nights at the Brighton when no one's there. Because it's the end of the night, yeah.
Well,
no.
You're just there for the fucking day of practice,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
Let's go get on this list and shit and, like, get this up.
All right. Fun little fact that only I know. As I was saying that joke, this gentleman in the window right up there looked at me. I think he shook his head and then walked away. Which is the appropriate response. I'm not a big fan of people really kind of building themselves up using like words to make them sound like job titles that really don't mean anything. Like, mixologist is just a fancier way to say bartender. Like, when I say I'm in between jobs, it's just fancier than saying depressed in boxers at noon. So.
Speaking of which, my local sex shop changed their return policies during the COVID, you know. COVID-19 has a lot of different ancillary issues and... I used to make sweet love to a plastic vagina, and if it was in 30 days, I would return it. Covered in spunk. It was easier. It's easier than cleaning it. I'll tell you this: returning it, getting your full money back. I like variety. I can't stick to the same plastic vagina for months and months. No. But now they change it to 10 days. You know. So for a while, 10 days, it was like I took it on a couple dates. You know. Stick it in my ass, whatever. Return it. They changed it to 10 minutes. That's a challenge. I gotta go out in the parking lot and try to stick this thing up my ass or fuck it. You know what I mean? put it back in the original packaging. I still had the receipt, but it's all crusty. I'm like sweaty. They're like, did you just fuck this in the parking lot? I'm like, a policy's a policy. Change the... I read the policy.
Anything you want to plug?
You know what? Before this, I was like, you know what? I've never made all of my comedy, cause, like, especially with the name change. I was like, all right, I had to do it. So I made an Instagram and a Twitter.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, I'm building some like content on the back end before I start. But if anyone's listening, please give me a follow. People have randomly followed me already, but I'm assuming they just found me through like when I was following people back. Mm-hmm. And those weird, you know, those people who are just like, you're new to Instagram, let me follow you. And you're like, why are you doing this?
Right, right.
So it is Kyle RG Colorado. Both Twitter and...
And Instagram.
And Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's where
so
that's...
follow you there?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
And no podcasts anymore?
Not right now. I've had ideas. I just literally need to go through my storage unit and find my...
your podcast.
My podcast. I have my, like, broadcast quality mic by itself on my desk right now. I don't know where the mixer is. I know we're one of the... It's all piecemeal, but it's I own it. It's just in different spots.
It's in a storage facility?
It's well, yeah, I'm calling the garage where I live.
Currently. Oh, okay.
I literally just have to walk... I took it from a storage facility and just dumped all the boxes. So my guess is it's, like, in the middle box somewhere that I have to, like, pull mm-hmm. everything out. And mm-hmm. I've just been lazy to do that, even mm-hmm. though it's been quarantine.
Well, get on it, yeah. And your next podcast should be called Comfy Tits. one of your jokes is about your wife's and big old comfy tits.
Big
and
old,
I gotta tell you, I'm jealous. I need a girlfriend or something. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's do some stand-up.
Damn right.